Hey, before we roll into this next episode, I want to thank all of you that have left a review on iTunes. This helps with my rankings and helps me keep this podcast free. I also want to talk about one of my sponsors. We get a lot of questions about spot and stalk hunts. And one of the things that's really helped out my game, has really been a game changer actually, is I started wearing Sneak Tech boots a couple of years ago. And they've really taken my stalks to the next level of sneak. So if you want to amp up your game and really improve your success in the field, check out Sneak Tech. It's SneekTech.com, and check out the sneak boot. One more thing before we get into this episode. I will be announcing the winner of the Matthews Halon 32 giveaway within this episode, so stay tuned. Hi, and welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters, brought to you by theoutdoorinsiders.com, your number one spot for inside information and quality gear. Guys, I want to thank you all for taking the time and giving us reviews on iTunes especially. It helps my ratings, helps me keep this podcast free so that we can bring you all this great information from all my guests all for free. So keep those coming in. And if you have any suggestions or people that you want to see on or have questions yourself, please send them in so we can get them answered. Today, I have with me on the phone Josh Nordwick. And Josh has basically taken – I mean, Josh is a hunter, so – he's taken his passion for hunting and he's taken his passion for fitness and melded them together and developed like sports specific training programs and lifestyle training programs. So without further ado, we're going to get into it. And Josh, why don't you give us a little bit about yourself and give yourself a better intro than I did for you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Basically, like you said, I'm kind of a hunter and a fitness professional. I've been hunting, grown into a big hunting family. So, you know, since I was 12, I've been hunting elk a lot, hunting white-tailed deer a lot. Just kind of been like part of my whole life. And I've always been into fitness as well because I was really into sports growing up. So most notably football. And I guess I was always a little bit smaller than everybody else. So I had to like learn how to get bigger, how to get more athletic, how to get more fit. So that kind of took me really deep into like learning about anatomy, biomechanics, speed and strength training, how to get more powerful, how to get faster. And I kind of just grew and grew and kept getting into that. And I eventually started to play college football. And when that ended, I kind of, started to hunt more, started to get back into that. I was starting to work in a gym and was helping a lot of hunters because I lived in Montana. So mm-hmm. It was pretty common for somebody to come and be like, well, I just can't hunt anymore. I can't get into the backcountry. I have this back pain. I have this knee pain or whatever else it was, or I'm just like 20 pounds overweight. Man, just kind of merged them together. And I realized that there's a really big need. It was about a year and a half ago when I kind of first realized that there's a really big need. So I wrote a book about the topic. I wrote Mountain Fit, the Hunter's Fitness Solution, and kind of promoted that a little bit. I kind of like jump-started my business. And now mm-hmm. I just do like kind of coach clients online.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, I've kind of been in and out of the fitness industry myself too for many years. My first degree I got in college from Grand Canyon University was corporate fitness and wellness and exercise physiology. I went into physical therapy and I hated it. My first job it was a great paying job. But I was working out in Sun City West, which is like a retirement community way out west side here in Phoenix. And man, I just got tired of dealing with, it was just every day was the same thing. It was, oh, my back hurts. And I was like, well, no shit. You're 80 years old and you don't work out. So of course
you haven't worked out for 50 years.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like and I was really, I really got tired of the, of dealing with the insurance company, especially Medicare and stuff at the time. It was so it's even crappier now from what I understand. My cousin's a doctor and he's, we're always talk about stuff like that. But back then, they would pay us like $65 to put a hot pack on somebody's back, but they wouldn't pay us to do a modality or something, or do, exercise or deep tissue work or anything like that. So it was just like this game, all the docs that were overseeing docs was like, okay, yeah, just bill them for this and do what they, do what they need. And it was just, and I couldn't take it. So I left that, geez, 1998. I've been out of that industry, but I took that whole mindset of, I was a strength and conditioning coach in college, and stuff like that. I took that same mindset, and all my training I do for hunting is very sports specific. I train for the game, so to speak. So when I heard about you, that immediately, said, I need to talk to this guy because he thinks like me and probably knows a lot more than I do since I've been out of it for so long. So anyway, that's why we have you on today. I did get a couple of questions over the last couple of weeks regarding training and hunting. So without further ado, I'm just going to jump right into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So my first question was how important is sports specific training? What do you know? What's your feeling on training specifically to the sport?
I think it's important. It's definitely important, but I think there's even a level further in, which is kind of like athlete specific training. So it's great to train like a program designed for hunters and for hunting, but even I think you have to get a little bit deeper in that and like get the program set up for an individual, because like just like you wouldn't like, you wouldn't go to a doctor that gives the same prescription to every patient. So like the idea of giving the same workout program to every patient is, I think, is just as flawed, because from my understanding of biomechanics and how the body works. So I start off all my clients with basically like a static postural assessment and a functional movement screen, just to kind of identify any muscular imbalances that are causing any kind of pain, lower back pain, anything like that, and kind of really focus on movement quality first before quantity. And then once you get that base laid where they're good to go and they're not going to hurt themselves and they're not going to be in pain, then you can really jump into like the more sport specific stuff, which is like training for hunters, learning to be able to absorb a lot of force. I do like a lot of deceleration training for hunters, so like learning how to like absorb force when you're going downhill by learning how to land from a jump, and then getting into the cardio and like getting into the more specific stuff there.
Everybody trains to go uphill. Nobody trains to go downhill.
It's a lot harder
I,
too.
I, yeah, oh yeah, way harder. I get looked at funny all the time because in I work out at Orange Theory Fitness mostly now because it's brainless and I just show up, I do my thing, and I leave. But I try to do I change and there and I know I'm never really following along with the class except the cardio side. But even on the cardio side, like a lot of times what I'll do is I'll put the treadmill on like a 15 incline, which is the highest those go to, and I turn around and I walk backwards to help me for when I'm going downhill, because I could go uphill all day long and not be in pain. As soon as I start going downhill, I'm in pain. So I know it's something that I'm deficient in, and I try to work on it where I can.
That's a really interesting way of approaching it. I train it a lot with like step downs. So instead of like focusing on the step up, it's like taking like 3 seconds or so on the descent going down, and like just your body weight and like just learning that, and then I'll kind of progress it towards, landing down. So landing on 2 feet, jumping off a box, like a box drop on the opposite of a box jump, like just like really enforcing perfect appropriate mechanics, and then stepping it up to like single leg box drops, and then dropping to the side, dropping at a 45 degree angle, just like really
Smart.
mimicking that downward like motion as much as I can, but making sure it's also specific to the individual, so we're not doing something that's going to get them hurt in their training program, because that's the worst thing. Like if your training gets you hurt, that's like defeats the whole purpose, and now you're you what happened what you didn't want to happen during hunting is happening during your training, so it's a big red flag.
Happens all the time, man. And it's amazing to me how many, and I'm sure you see it all the time too. Like you go to the gym or whatever, and you just see people doing movements, and they're just not right. You just know they're hurting themselves. And I think everybody should really take the time, or even if it's just for like five or six classes or whatever, to get like somebody like yourself to train them to do the body movements and stuff. And you know what? If you want to have your own program, do your own thing, that's fine. But just making sure that you're making the right movements, because that's like key, you know.
That's where you can get hurt at first, is like doing things wrong is like the first thing that leads to pain, I think.
Yeah, that I think inefficiency in movement too, you know, like getting the most out of what you're doing. Because if you're doing this, you know, and you're doing that 20 times, you could probably get the same out of doing this, you know, four or five times, what I'm saying, you know. It's real simple, what do you call it, example. But I think a lot of people don't use full range of motion, are very jerky with things. Like you were saying before, yeah, a lot of people do step ups, and when they step back down, they just come back, you know, full speed instead of controlling.
Collapse.
Yeah, instead of controlling themselves on the descent. Like I've, in the last few years especially, I've really tried to control my movement both ways. You know, I try to work the protagonist and antagonist at the same time, you know, and try to, because I am so not, I'm not balanced at all. Like everybody else, my chest is, you know, I'm a little rounded in the shoulders because my chest is stronger than my back muscles. And, you know, my biceps are probably stronger than my tris. You know, it's just all those things. Leg muscles, forget about it. My hammies and my quads, they're so imbalanced. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, you can even know, like, a lot of people know, like, what they need to do, but it's still, like, there's still another step between knowing and actually doing it. Like, right. You know, like, okay, I need to work more on, you know, pulling movements because my back's weaker than my front. But it's still really fun to go in and bench press. And, like, if you don't have a program being, like, do this, and, like, these are things that are going to correct it, it's hard to just, like, when you're just, like, you if you see the gym as something as, like, a stress reliever or, like, your reward for the day, like, a lot of people do that are really busy professionals. They want to just go and do the things they enjoy. They don't want to do the things that are hard. So, like, if they don't have a program in front of them telling them what to do, they're just going to do the things they enjoy and, like, the things they like and the things they're already good at.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember doing that when I was in, you know, in my early years in college. I always, the things that I was strong at, those are the things I did more. And that comes with going to the gym and having an ego and wanting people to look at you and whatever. I'm like, oh, look at this guy. He's benching 375 and, you know.
Yeah.
Deadlifting 460 or whatever, you know. It was funny
because I
was just talking with my cousin the other day, and I was telling him, I was like, you know, my shoulder's been bothering me a little bit. I got a lot of tendonitis going on, tendonitis in the elbow. I got tendinopathy everywhere. Thank God my joints are fine. I've actually got an MRI. Everything's fine as far as joints are concerned. I got really minimal damage. And he's like, yeah, I remember when you used to, like, you know, use 100-pound bells to do military press and stuff like that. I'm like, I used to do that stuff because, you know, it was macho and cool or whatever. Now I wish I could just lift 50 pounds over my head. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, man.
Things change.
I think the things that we're good at, too, are the things that we don't need to do very much of, too, which is the hard part. Because, like, for me, it's, like, speed and power running and stuff. So anything where I'm just running sprints or doing, like, power or doing jumps, like, that's the stuff I excel at. But when I get into the conditioning, like long-term endurance stuff, that's like way more carryover to hunting. And like, obviously VO2 max is like the biggest thing that has a like predictor of like life length and quality. But like, it's not a strong suit for me. So like, I want to go do jumps and I want to do like different plyometric exercises and sprints and like heavy lifting. That's where I excel. But like, I really have to force myself to be like, okay, like I need to focus on my conditioning. I need to focus on getting my shoulder mobility in proper order. I need to make sure my core is really, really strong. And those are the things that really matter, you know? So it's nice to have a program that's like, they're saying that. Cause if not, it's like, it's very easy to fall back on the bench press and do an overhead press and like doing all the presses and bicep curls and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, next question I got for you is, what are some of the things a guy could do or a girl can do to ease into a fitness program that's geared to hunting?
Yeah. I think it's just starting slow is the biggest thing. Like you have to, like, I think it's all about perspective. First off, is like you have to kind of make up your goal. Like, what is it? Do you want to be in like excellent shape this hunting season, or like do you want to be in excellent shape in 4 weeks, or do you want to be in excellent shape for the rest of your life, or do you want to be in like really good shape for the rest of your life? So a lot of people look at it and they're like, I'm gonna get all these supplements. I'm gonna, you know, make these huge dietary changes. I'm gonna start working out 6 days a week for an hour, and like that's like a recipe for failure. Like if I wanted to make somebody fail, it's exactly what I would have them do. So I think it's just looking at it from a long-term perspective, being like, okay, if I can just change one thing at a time. So if you haven't worked out in a long time and you're way out of shape, you have like 30, 40 pounds to burn, maybe the best thing for you to do is just start walking for 20 minutes a day in the morning. Like if that's something that you could do, like just pick something that you know you can do. And I think like the idea is like actually ask yourself and be like, okay, what am I willing to do even when I'm not motivated? When I have to wake up at 6 a.m. and I'm not motivated, what will I actually do? And maybe it's 10 minutes of walking. Maybe it's 20 minutes of walking. Maybe you can make like one small nutritional change. Like a big one that I coach people to do is like eat slowly.
Oh, I can't do it. I tried.
Yeah, it's really hard, man. So it's just like
I was actually thinking about that. I'm sorry to cut you off. I was thinking about that today because you had said it to me last time you and I talked on the phone. I'm sitting there at lunch today, and I'm just like shoveling. Yeah. And that's my biggest problem all the time. I'm always overeating because my body doesn't know it's full because I'm eating all this food so fast. I mean, I slammed like 4 chicken breasts in a salad in a matter of 10 minutes, and I know I didn't eat 4 chicken breasts. So.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's like a little bit of science background there for people that don't understand why you'd eat slowly. So it takes about – the gut has its own nervous system called the enteric nervous system, which is like people think nervous system, they think brain, they think head, and maybe muscular system, but the gut has its own nervous system. And basically it takes about 20 minutes for the gut to communicate to the brain that it's full, and it's had enough food. So it doesn't really matter as much like how much you eat as much as how fast you eat it. And like, so obviously volume matters a little bit, but like it takes 20 minutes for the gut to communicate to the brain that it's full. So you really like, so like one of the things, like the first habit for 2 weeks of people, if they're not in great shape, I'll just focus on that. Like, here's every single day, there are 5 or 6 days a week, they're going to get a lesson. It takes like 5 or 10 minutes to read and be like, okay, here's the science behind it one day. Here's some practical ways of trying it. You know, like put your fork down between bites, have a conversation, take a breath between bites, make sure your mouth's like, you don't have anything else in it. Don't distract yourself by watching TV and just like things like that to get people more like mindful and paying attention to what they're eating. And I think the biggest thing I think people find that's just like really surprising is like, they start to like the taste of food, like actually like food. Like they start to like vegetables. They start to like fruits. Like I never knew what like raisins tasted like. Like there's one exercise where I have somebody take 10 minutes to eat 10 raisins, just like as like a really like intense version of this.
Right.
I never knew what a raisin tasted like. So nobody just chopping them all down. So like they'd sit there and eat like one raisin a minute and just like really, really understand like what it feels like in their mouth and what the actual flavor and what it is before, like what it is right when you put it in and like right after. And like, it's like really interesting. Like it's just mindful. And like that carries over to like all areas of your life. So like the next thing you know, you're playing with your kids. And then instead of like thinking about what you're going to be doing later and trying to rush through a game of catch or whatever it is, you're sitting there and you're like, you're actually playing catch and like, you're enjoying just like catching the ball and throwing it and realizing like this opportunity, like this isn't going to last forever. So it's like, it's cool. Like to be there in the moment and enjoy it while you got it.
That's a great outlook, man. You know, it's funny because I've tried several times in my life to sit through a meal and like chew a certain amount of times or whatever. And I actually found that food doesn't taste as good to me when I chew the food a lot. And I don't know what it is. Yeah, like that's part of the problem. I like, maybe it's just because I've eaten this way my whole life. Like I've always been a freaking race car driver. And I think like, I'll probably start liking other food because other food tastes differently if you chew it more. But like the foods that I like now, if I chew on a piece of steak or whatever for like more than like 7, you know, chews or whatever, it tastes differently to me. I don't like the way it tastes. I don't know. So like, the whole eating slow is definitely something I know and I've known for a long time that I need to do. I definitely need to do it. It's something that's, I mean, it's bad for your digestive system. I mean, I can't imagine what I've done 42 years of damage, 41 years of damage to this body by eating the way I have. So, so anything else in that?
Other
thoughts on that question or?
Yeah, just like starting slow. So then you're walking, you know, maybe it's 2 weeks, you're just focusing on walking for 20 minutes, 5 or 6 days a week. And then you're saying, okay, you know, maybe I'm making a little progress. I feel better. I have more energy throughout the day. I feel like I can take on a little bit more now. So then maybe you add in one day in the gym where you're just focusing on like movement patterns. So you're going, obviously it's ideal if you could get somebody that kind of get you on a corrective exercise program to fix up whatever muscular imbalances you have, because we all have them, whether we like know it or not.
Right.
Even if you're not in pain or something that's very likely could cause pain or could cause an injury. So if you get somebody to fix that up first thing first, and then start laying down, like, you know, the foundational movement patterns, like learn a proper body weight squat, and just see what you're, how deep you're capable of getting with proper form, and trying to work on that, get a little bit lower, get a little bit lower, and then learn how to hip hinge, which is just basically bending at the hips without letting the knees bend a bunch and keeping a neutral spine. And like those are like the two foundational lower body, and learning how to push, how to pull vertically or horizontally, then how to push and pull vertically. And it's like, even if you just do like maybe some kind of like a farmer's carry or loaded walk, loaded carry, just to get like that locomotion in too. I think that's ideal. Just like learning all the basic movement patterns and like just keeping the fundamentals, just hammering away at the basics. Is those are the things that like once you have those down, you can kind of do whatever you want. You're probably not going to get hurt. But if you don't get those right, you're going to get hurt. It doesn't really matter what you do normally.
What are some of the things that you do to prepare for hunts?
I train about year round. So one thing I've started this year is kind of more advanced. I've been doing a lot of Wim Hof breathing. Do you know what Wim Hof is?
You know, I remember it, but I don't remember anything about it. Like I remember
Okay.
learning about it, but no, I go ahead and give us a
Okay.
rundown on that.
So Wim Hof is like pretty new guy. He's like this kind of like yogi type, pretty extreme dude, and like basically he climbed Mount Everest in a pair of shorts using this breathing technique that he has. And like he almost summited, he didn't get to the tight to top, but then he also went and did Kilimanjaro and had like and brought a bunch of guys with him. And like one guy was like a 60-something-year-old, like had a double heart bypass surgery or something like that. And like they all went to the top of Kilimanjaro in a pair of shorts. So he basically has this breathing technique where like you upregulate like your metabolism, like you turn up your energy, like you're influencing the autonomic nervous system, which is really funny because like the autonomic really means like automatic is basically what it translates to. So it's like it was this thing that we thought humans couldn't control. But basically like they're studying him at Harvard. He's been through like a bunch of universities where they're showing that he has this ability to influence his autonomic nervous system. So I've been doing like meditation, like cold exposure too. So basically you use this breathing technique, you ramp up your metabolism. Basically what you're doing is you're overflowing your body with oxygen, which ups the pH in your blood to a point like, it's usually between like 7.3, 7.4-ish is where the pH normally hangs out. So once it hits like the 7.6 range, because you're taking in so much oxygen, it becomes like very basic. Like the pain signal kicks off. So you can withstand like really, really intense cold, like cold showers, ice baths. And like I've been using that to kind of work on like mental toughness and being out in the cold. So I'll do that for a while. I'll do the breathing, and then there's some exercises to go with it too, like some kind of yoga type stuff. And then I'll go sit outside and like just like sit cross-legged. And like it was doing it during the winter in Montana. So, when it's like 10 degrees out, 5 degrees out, and just a pair of shorts and no shirt on, and just like sitting there and I think there's this really this is obviously a more advanced thing, and it's not for anybody right off the bat, but like as you get further along in your training, there's like kind of like two ways for your brain to work. Is like when you have a stress coming at you, there's one way in which you kind of see it as being like this really bad thing, and you're trying to fight it, and you can't wait till it ends, and like you're fighting it. And there's one thing, the other side is just like completely giving into it, and like this is the way it is. It's not necessarily bad. It's just what I'm experiencing right now, and it's like completely letting go. And then when you do that, like the whole way your brain's working just operates completely differently, because you're no longer throwing out all these stress hormones and like having like this big stress sympathetic like fight or flight response. Now you're just relaxed and being like, okay, yeah, like you're a human and you're an animal still too. So it's like you have this ability to extend like withstand way, way more than like we think we can, I guess. And that carries over like all my training. So like when I'm doing conditioning, I can just kind of do that breathing method and just kind of think like, even if it's hard, like on my high intensity days, I only go high intensity like 2 or 3 days a week maybe. But on those days, I really push myself. And that's another thing for, I would say too, is like something that people should think about is making sure they're not going high intensity training every day, because it's not a good idea. It's really hard on your nervous system. It's really hard to recover from. Sick or injured.
Oh, lost you there for a second.
Yeah, my headphones came out, I think.
No worries. I think that's my problem. I just go intense too much every day. Just kidding.
Just too much of a high intensity dude.
It's just me, man. I'm extreme.
Yeah,
I'm an
that's a problem.
extreme
A lot of guys run into that, man. Like, yeah, extreme eater. I'm too intense with my eating. I gotta go fast. But a lot of guys start their training off, and like that's a huge problem that people, a huge like error problem that people run into is just going with too much intensity too soon. Like, they see guys like Cameron Haynes has been training like that for his whole life basically. And like, oh, lift, run, shoot. I need to lift, run, and shoot every day. Like high intensity, and like, and they're hurt within a week, or they quit within a week because it's too hard, and like they just start to hate it. And like, it's like movement should be something that you enjoy doing. I think it's like, It allows you to, like, especially if you're like a busy professional, if you're on a desk all day, if you're on a computer all day, it's like this thing that allows you to get out of your head and into your body and just like enjoy being and like moving and like play for a while. So
Yeah.
it's important to kind of incorporate things that you enjoy into your workout program and
Oh
learn
yeah,
to
for
enjoy
sure.
things that are good for you.
True. Well, I was a little reluctant to ask you this, but I'm going to anyway. Would you be able to kind of give us like a little simple program, like a starter program right now that, X amount of movements a guy should start with, and then they feel like they're gonna like it. They like what they're doing. Hopefully they'll come and see you and get on one of your major, more intense programs here.
Actually, I'll run through this. I wrote a blog post on this actually really recently. And basically, it was like I'd got a couple of people email me and be like, I'm really crunched for time. I can only make it to the gym normally once a week, sometimes twice a week. And basically, what I did, I just wrote a blog post and I was like, here's six movement categories. And we kind of talked about like the basic categories earlier. Here's the six movement categories that kind of break up almost all of, humans' movement on a daily basis. So basically, I would say, start with some kind of a dynamic warm up. Move through like where you're doing. Sorry, I lost for a second. So you're getting your blood pumping, and then you move into like some kind of a squat, variation. So I think a goblet squat is a really good place to start. And then, I like to do like maybe three supersets. Like they're not really like back to back. Like you're still resting in between them, but it gives your body a little bit more time to recover if you do like a squat and then some kind of a push variation. Or I probably should do it with a pull. So I do like a squat and I pull. So maybe some kind of like a 3-point dumbbell row or something like that. So just go back to back. Like I do like a set of, if you're a beginner, if you're basic, like just do like 8 to 12 squats, then do 8 to 10, 12, rows, whether you're doing like a seated row or a dumbbell row, or I wouldn't get to a barbell row yet unless you're more advanced. So do 3 or 4 rounds there, move on, go with a hip hinge. So like some kind of a thing where you're learning how to hip hinge properly. Most people need work on their hip hinge, like just learning to
I
bend at
do.
the waist, keeping a neutral spine, and making sure your core is staying really tight too. So that's a really big one. Same thing, 8 to 12, and then go to like an upper body push of some sort. So maybe it's a, a dumbbell bench, or probably a push-up is going to be more realistic for people that are just getting into it. And then, 3 to 4 rounds there again, then go to some kind of a locomotive with an anterior core movement. So really make it really like maybe like a plank for the anterior core and like a farmer's carry or prowler push for the locomotive movement. And just like one where you're moving, so you're taking like all these things you've been learning about getting strong in one place and carrying that over to starting to move. So it's going to kind of be that transition from like weight room strength to actual in the field, like hunting, backpack, being able to pack heavy weights out of mountain strength. And like the anterior core, the big thing if you're listening, like if your anterior core movement, it's going to be like a plank or an ab roll or something like that. Make sure that you're not arching your lower back a bunch. It's called like a hyperlordosis of the lumbar spine. So basically, like a lot of people just like they default into bone on bone contact for stability, and it ends up causing a lot of pain in the back, and they think they're really strong in the plank. Oh, I can plank for 5 minutes. It's like, well, you're just crunching your spine up against each other, and like your anterior core, the musculature like of the front of your stomach, like this is kind of where the six pack's at, and like the deeper abdominal muscles that are all around there, they're not actually working for a lot of people when they're doing what they think is an anterior core exercise, like a plank. So make sure
Got
you're getting that right when you do it too.
It goes back to quality of movement.
Exactly.
Let me run this by you. So this is something I used to kind of like, so like 7, 8, 9, almost 9 years ago now. Yeah, I started a blog called Hunt Fit. It's still up. I don't really maintain it very much, but there's still some information on there. One of the things that, and this was something that was a guy that I used to work with here. I'm actually going to leave his name out, but he was a very predominant trainer in the country. And I want to get your feedback on this. So I would give guys that were just starting out what I used to call a day starter workout. And basically it would be 5 days a week and then 2 days a week off. And every morning when you wake up, drink a glass of water, start off with a glass of water, get some metabolism going. And then pick like three body weight movements. Body weight squat, crunch, push up, something along those lines, and do 20 of each of those, just one set in the morning, and just start with that. And that's basically to develop a habit, and to get your body used to and your metabolism jump started every morning. What are your thoughts on something like that? I mean, I don't know if the school of thought has changed a lot on it, because I've been still like recommending that to people in recent days. So,
yeah, I do something actually really similar with a lot of my clients. Actually, I've gotten pretty into yoga in the last couple of years too. So I kind of incorporate that in the morning because I feel like it's a really good way to start the morning. Mm-hmm. So there's basically things like a sun salutation, basically, where it. So are you familiar with yoga at all?
Yeah, very little. I've gone a few times. Yoga and me don't like each other.
That's how it is.
I don't bend and twist very good. I don't have very good flexibility.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of really bad instructors in yoga that like don't take into account where people are, where they're starting. Because it can be a good thing for anybody, but like if you're getting pushed, like take what like an advanced yogi is doing, but when you're just starting out, you're just gonna hate it.
So just
keep it really basic. I mean, like normally you start off and like. A forward fold, so you're just like standing like, where you bend over trying to touch your toes, and then you're basically walking your feet backwards into a plank position, doing like the bottom portion of a push-up going down, and then doing like a where your chest comes up, so you're kind of arching your lower back and getting like that four-inch motion. Cause you got the rounding, the flexion in the back, so now you're getting the extension, and then you do like a downward dog, which is basically like, stretches the whole backside of your body, and then like kind of stepping up into like a lunge position, so you're getting like that your hip flexor and hamstring a little bit more. And then kind of like going hands up and around just to open up the shoulders a little bit. So I'll have people do a couple like sun salutation, like rounds of that, because that just like, it hits like all the movement patterns. It's really good for mobility and it like gets the blood pumping and it's a really good, like you said, it builds the habit of starting to move. And like the thing with that is people feel so much better after that. Even if it's 10 to 15 minutes, it like, they feel so much better throughout the day. Like, oh, I want more now. Like if you can make somebody want more, it's a lot better than making them want less. If somebody wants less of a workout, it's like, they're very close to quitting. But if they want more, it's like you're holding them back, not giving quite them as much as they want. They just want more, you know, a little bit more. You're like, you can kind of walk that line as a coach, is like just doing a little bit less than they want to do. Then they'll have like that motivation that keeps kind of pouring out and they'll keep going. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good idea. The glass of the water in the morning is an excellent idea. And getting a few basic movements, get the blood pumping and make you feel better in the morning.
Right. Yeah. It was just like, you know, like a 7-minute workout. It's an easy goal to meet. Gets used, you know, gets people used to getting in the habit of doing exercise. Obviously jump starts the metabolism, you know, if you got the metabolism running in the morning. It's easy for them to set a goal and complete it. And I think that's like the key to
like authority.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like self-authority. I think it's a really important concept. Something I was kind of, I started writing, I didn't finish the blog post, but I started one about it. Basically what it is, it's like, there's something about having authority. So like it's not just like when I tell you to do something, you do it. It's like, no, I tell myself to do things. It's like self-authority. So like when I say I'm going to go work out today, I work out today. And when I say I'm going to eat this meal, I do that, you know, and like that builds over time. So if you start with really small things, you know, like I'm just going to do this 7-minute workout and then you do it and you start to believe what you say. And when you start to believe what you say, you start to do what you say. And then that happens. It's like it has like a cascading effect where other people start to see that you're doing what you're saying. So like you're leading by example and they start doing what you're saying too. Cause like they're seeing that it works. So it's like this whole cascade of effects where you start to build authority and like you're really like way more in control and in charge of your life.
Right. Well, I got my wife for that. She tells me, you got to take out the garbage today.
Outsource the authority.
So, no, but yeah, you know, self-motivation is probably, I guess it's got to be the number one obstacle, really, for anybody.
Yeah.
Because really, I mean, you hear it all the time. The hardest thing about working out is getting to the gym. You know, and I agree with that fully. I think, I mean, once I'm there, I'm there. I don't have a problem working out once I'm there, but it's just, you know, getting there. And I think life gets in the way too a lot with people. I know it does with myself. If I'm on a routine, if I'm on a schedule, man, I can work out no problem. Like, it's developing the habits, the good habits.
Yeah.
And during hunting season, it's so easy for me to fall out of that habit because I'm traveling so much.
Yeah.
When I get back, I'm out of the routine. I also feel guilty about, okay, I just got back from a week of hunting and now I'm going to take more time away from my family to go to the gym, you know, and it's like always like this constant battle. So, my working out, and it's been a cycle now for the last 10 years plus, especially since I've been, you know, with TV show and stuff like that and traveling way more and the podcast and all that other stuff, that from August, sometimes September, even going through August, I'm still pretty good. From like September to end of January, working out is like, you know, if I go once or twice a week, average, that's a lot. And then from February, you know, to August, it's rebuild, tear down. And eventually, like I'm noticing, especially the older I get, that the tearing down is a little bit more and the rebuilding is a little less. And, you know, I was just looking at a video that I did, you know, not even 5 years ago. And I was like, everything else on me was like bigger, bulkier and whatever. Oh, heck, I just put up a thing from 2 years ago. I did an interview with Matt Ament. He interviewed me on my podcast. And I put up the video of it and I'm looking at myself. I'm like, oh, I used to fill up that t-shirt, same t-shirt I'm wearing right now. Matter of fact, I used to fill up that t-shirt in the arms and, you know, you could see my traps and now it's like, I'm a mess. I'm a mush right now.
It's gotta be a hard thing to see too. Like when you I could do that and I know if I kept working out or if I kept doing it, but it's like, you have so many other competing priorities at the same time. You have to kind of take into account.
Yeah.
So like you have a lot more responsibility now, I'm sure, like with like family and different work stuff and everything going on.
Are you married, Josh?
I'm not married. No.
Okay. Don't do it. But I'll tell you what though, man. I mean, obviously the more things you got going in your life, the harder it is to do.
Yeah.
You know, the harder it is to think about yourself and to take care of yourself and do what you need for yourself because your time is split between so many things, you know?
Yeah. It's a belief system thing too, I think, with like, even with like work and like family and stuff, it's like, you feel, like you said, you feel guilty, I think, because it's like, I was just hunting all week and now I'm gonna go spend more time away from my family. But then it's like, one of the things you've kind of have to take into account when you're thinking that is like, all right, who am I when I'm working out? Who am I when I'm not? And like, if when you're not working out, you become a person like, oh, I'm soft. I'm like, I don't feel as good about myself.
Yeah.
It's like that's gonna carry off to your kids as well. It's like that's what they're gonna see as an example too. So it's like, it's like that perspective thing. Like right now, maybe that you're not seeing them quite as much, but is it better for them in the long run? Like to see their dad living a healthy lifestyle, doing what he needs to, like doing, like handling all these things at one time and still making time for them, or like maybe seeing them a little bit more, but like not being the best version of yourself when you're with them.
Yeah, no, I get it, man. And it's an ongoing battle.
Yeah.
It really is. Cause like I said, it's just, your time is split between so many things. I mean, I run two different companies. I got the TV show. I got the podcast, you know, I write for a number of different publications. And, you know, it's just, everything's has to have a time and a place. And it's very easy for fitness to be the one like that. Okay. I don't have time for that.
Yeah. Especially if it's just you that you're accountable to. And then it's like, for my writing, I'm accountable to these editors, for, you know, for my business, I'm accountable to my customers, for my family time, I'm accountable to my family, but for my fitness, I'm just accountable to myself.
Right.
You know, so like, it's a lot easier to just let yourself down than it is to let yourself and other people at the same time.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I actually used to train with a buddy of mine, Chris, and he's a personal trainer. And so for a while, I was just like, you know what? I got into this whole thing was like, even though I know what to do and how to do it, I don't want to think about it. So I'm going to pay you.
Yeah.
And I would just go out. I would work out with him for half an hour, three times a week. I was in amazing shape, and I always went and I never missed. I mean, I had one less kid when I was doing that, but – my wife too. My wife and I would both go, and it was just it was like you said, I didn't want to let him down. I didn't want to cancel on him or whatever. And I had a set day, a set time, and it was just easier to do.
You could work around it. Yeah. You could plan your schedule around it.
So.
Yeah. I do something like that with like a lot of my clients. I call it like blackmailing yourself. So what I'll have them do is like take off like here's what you're going to do. Like here's your goal is to make 80% of your workouts and do your nutrition habits 80% of the time. So what I've kind of found is like the kind of breakoff point. If you're over 80% consistent, you're going to get great results. If you're under, not so much. So what I do is like, here's find like what's a cause that you feel really strongly about, like what you're very emotional about. Like, and some people, like, you know, if you're working with a lot of people, like, okay, I'm very, you know, I'm very pro Republican. So it's like, okay, so you're going to put up this whatever this sum of money is that's meaningful to you. So if you've got more money, it's going to be more money. If you have less, it's going to be less. Put up this sum of meaningful, like it's in like almost a trust where. If you don't make 80%, it goes to the opposite of the charity. Like, so a charity that you really like a democratic charity, basically you donate to the Democratic Party if you don't follow through. So like, you're making it very emotional as well. And I kind of blackmail yourself because like when you really don't have the motivation, like, man, I don't want to go work out today, but I don't want to give $500 to the Democratic National Party either.
So, right.
Yeah.
That's cool. So that's a cool way to do that.
Yeah. It works really well, man. Like just like, especially for people that are really busy and like, they just need that little bit of extra kick, a little bit of extra accountability, and they don't need to pay somebody to do it, or they don't want to pay somebody to do it. It's like one way to do it as well.
Sweet. Well, man, that's all I got for you as far as questions are concerned. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about where our listeners can find out more about you and your program and how they can get in contact with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So number one way to get like information from me and like free information, free stuff is like go to my website, joshnordwick.com. That's Nordwick is NORDWICK. And then to sign up for my email newsletter there, and you'll get, or when you sign up, you'll get like the 5-day Hunter's Fitness Solution email course. And basically it'll just break down like a few days of like, here's some ideas, what to do with your training program. Here's how to schedule things. And also you also get my, like an ebook that I did about a couple years ago. It's called the 26 common, most common gym mistakes and how to fix them. And basically I pulled like a bunch of guys, like 9 of the top fitness professionals and just like asked them what the biggest like common mistake they found. And like each person threw in about 3 and I just put them together into a book. And then we kind of like write down how to fix them as well. So it's just a really good jump start of like, and then I'll also kind of break down like how my coaching programs work and how all that stuff works. So, and then outside of that, there's a Facebook group, Mountain Fit, the Hunter's Fitness Solution Facebook group, and then mountainfit.josh on Instagram.
Cool. I'll put those in the show notes, guys, so we can easily accessible for you. Well, do you have any other final words or wisdoms or anything you want to pass along to everybody that's listening?
Yeah. I guess one of the big things we talked about was just like starting slow, knowing where you're at. And if you're having nagging pain, it's like you can kind of think of that as being like a check engine light on your car. So mm-hmm. if you're having nagging pain, you want to get that checked out for sure and deal with that, or else it's going to kind of keep getting worse and worse over time, especially if you're older, because it doesn't, like a lot of times maybe when you're younger, your back pain would come and go away. It happens less and less as you get older. So the quicker you take care of it, the easier it is to get rid of it. And then once you're to a point where you kind of deal with that and your body's in good condition, by all means, you can start working out a lot harder. And like if you're making nutritional changes, do small things, do one thing at a time. There's this study recently that showed that like if you make one nutritional change at a time for like 2 weeks, you have about an 80 to 85% chance of still having that habit after 6 months. If you do two, it drops to about 35%. If you do a third habit at the same time, it drops to under 5%.
Oof.
So it's really like really really powerful statistics. So it's like do one thing at a time, unless you're like one of those crazy guys that can just like. And that's just how your life is. Everything's just like all in or nothing. Like there's the people occasionally too, but like that's not very many people. So just know who you are and know what kind of change you need to make.
Right. Well, cool, man. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us. And I'm sure we'll have you on again eventually. And when we get some more questions that are in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, you got absolutely. Any, I'd love to come back.
You got any big hunts coming up this year?
I'm just going to stick with Montana hunting. You know, I basically hunt around where I grew up, like in the Missoula area. So just doing some bow hunting, archery. I'm getting more into archery because I always grew up just rifle hunting. All my brothers and my dad and everybody archery hunted, but I was always playing football because I had so much football going on. So these past couple of years, I've really started to get back into the archery side of things. So like I got a bow when I was 12, which never ended up really using it and hunting much. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm really liking it. So just like getting back, learning more and more about the actually archery side of it, because obviously as you know, it's way, way more complicated. There's way more to it than just rifle hunting.
Yeah. Well, it requires a lot more dedication to the sport itself.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Which is really cool. Cause it's kind of becoming like a sport for me, like, that I can kind of like shoot my bow year round and, mm-hmm. have something to prepare for. Cause like football's gone now for me. But yeah, nothing big plan. Just basically hunting around the Missoula area. Probably do a little whitetail hunting and some elk hunting. What about you? You got anything big coming up?
Well, so far in the books, I'm going to California for blacktail. I got a Wyoming bull tag, Oregon bull tag, and probably go to South Dakota for some whitetail, maybe back to New York for some whitetail. But I'm just waiting to see what I draw at this point. So far, I haven't drawn in New Mexico. I haven't drawn in Arizona.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's cool to kind of be able to travel all around and make a real season out of it.
Yeah, I'd go crazy if I didn't, man. I can't. If I would just had to rely on Arizona, I'd be – we got quite a few things we can hunt over the counter here, but it's just not enough.
Yeah, Montana's pretty good over the counter. Like, basically, like – Once elk archery opens up in August, you're pretty much hunting all the way through end of November or middle of November, you know? Right. So there's like, whether it's deer, elk hunting. So like I get a good solid 3 months and yeah, it's good for me. Like it might be something where I start doing more and more later, but right now I really enjoy just being able to kind of stick around and do it close to home. Cause it's cool just to be able to go out for a morning hunt or an afternoon hunt every once in a while too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, cool, man. Well, good luck to you this season. And like I said, we'll probably have you back on as soon as I get some more questions come in from the fans. So, guys, check out Josh's website and his social media there. He's got a lot of good information for free. And if you find that you like what he's doing, get on one of his programs and better yourself. You know, it's the only way that you can excel in life is if you take those take those opportunities to work on yourself. So that's all I got, man. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, guys, it's time to announce the winner of the Matthews Halon 32. All right. The winner is Mike Molzen. Mike, congratulations, buddy. Hit me up on Facebook or Instagram and get me your contact information, and I will get you this bow out, man. Congratulations, Mike Molzen.